From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we bring another in a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled Fear to Fear. The text is Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 8. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Whenever fear comes in and makes us falter, we are in danger of falling into sin. Conceit is to be dreaded, but so is cowardice. Dare to be a Daniel. Our great captain should be served by brave soldiers. What a reason for bravery is here. God is with those who are with Him. God will never be away when the hour of struggle comes. Do they threaten you? Who are you that you should be afraid of a man that shall die? Will you lose your situation? Your God whom you serve will find bread and water for His servants. Can you not trust Him? Do they pour ridicule upon you? Will this break your bones or your heart? Bear it for Christ's sake, and even rejoice because of it. God is with the true, the just, the holy, to deliver them, and He will deliver you. Remember how Daniel came out of the lion's den, and the three holy children out of the furnace. Yours is not so desperate a case as theirs, but if it were, the Lord would bear you through and make you more than a conqueror. Fear to fear. Be afraid to be afraid. Your worst enemy is within your own bosom. Get to your knees and cry for help, and then rise up, saying, I will trust and not be afraid.
You is everlasting.
In this day of many uncertainties, the political unrest, widespread violence, and moral confusion, people are asking, what is it all about? What does life mean, or does it have any meaning? Thankfully, there is one place where despairing men, women, and young people can find the answers to those questions: the Holy Bible, God's inspired, inerrant word. The Apostle Paul, speaking of the gospel, wrote, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." He was referring to the righteousness that God gives to sinners on the basis of Christ's death on the cross. A medical doctor who found life's answer in Christ has written a brief summary of the central teaching of the Bible in a booklet called The Meaning of Life and the Love of God. In a few clearly written pages, he explains how sinners can find forgiveness and redemption in God's blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For a free copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, and we'll be happy to provide it. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns will conclude the message called The Christian's Obligation to Make the Gospel Known in All the World. Verses 13 through 15 of chapter 1 of Romans reveal Paul's heart for preaching the word. Paul's burden for missionary work had grown out of his own experience of the power of the gospel of Christ in his life. He felt that he owed it to sinners to give them this gospel. For him, preaching the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ was not an option. It was an obligation. Consequently, his desire to go to Rome was fueled by a longing to gather spiritual fruit there. Paul's ministry was characterized by the desire always to do more for Christ. He wasn't able to do everything he wanted to, but he never let that become an excuse for doing nothing. And that should be our attitude as well. Now here's Dr. Cairns to conclude this message, The Christian's Obligation to Make the Gospel Known.
We read in chapter 15 how busy Paul was at this particular time. For years he'd been constantly on the go preaching the gospel. Chapter 15, 19, by the power of the Spirit of God from Jerusalem round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And that's very easy for us to read nowadays, but take a map sometime. Have a good look at that. From Jerusalem. Take his missionary journeys. Illyricum is the area we would now call the Yugoslavian coast and inland. Just have a look and remember, he didn't have any steam trains, never mind diesel trains. He didn't have any airplanes. Most of the time he didn't even have a donkey. He walked on his own 2 feet. The greatest missionary the world has ever seen. He was busy. As Robert Haldane says, after so many labors, he did not wish for repose. He says, I'm busy. But oh, I want to do more. I'm winning souls here. I'm building churches here. But I have a vision for over there. And I want to go. Isn't that always the way? It's true of every great missionary and every great preacher. I remember Dr. Paisley saying in his young days in Belfast, when he was seeing hundreds of souls saved everywhere he went. Crowds were coming to the evangelistic meetings. There was a tremendous move of the Holy Ghost wherever he was preaching. And at that time, his heart was exercised about dropping everything and going to serve God in the upper reaches of the Amazon with the Acre Gospel Mission. I thank God he never went. Not that Brazil didn't need him, but Ulster needed him more. But doesn't it show you the heart? I think of C.T. Studd. Studd was saved through D.L. Moody. He became one of the famous Cambridge Seven. If you've never read of the Cambridge Seven, you should. Young men who had the world at their feet and gave it all up to serve Jesus Christ. He went out to China with the others, lived as Chinese, looked and dressed as Chinese, came back in bad health to England, couldn't sit still in England, went to America to raise the missionary standard and urge young men to go to the mission field. Then went to India, broken in health. No mission board would take him. But Studd went anyway. For 6 years, labored and did a good work in India. And when he's in India, you'd have thought his work was over, but it wasn't. It was through Studd that the Heart of Africa was opened up. The Heart of Africa Mission, later the Worldwide Evangelization Crusade, giving birth also to the Unevangelized Fields Mission that have spread across the world and also had a powerful impact in Africa. Wherever he was working. But there was always another field. There was always a great work. There was always a new need. There was always a desire, however much he did, to do more. How easily satisfied we are. We do a little and we sit back and pride ourselves. Oh, how much I've done. God help our infantile wit. How little we have done. It's typical of anything associated with Studd. He was in Liverpool. There was a meeting in a public hall about the need of missionaries in Africa. And there the placard was outside. Cannibals need missionaries. And C.T. Studd, realizing he could end up in the pot. Dear help, the poor cannibal that would have tried to eat Studd. But he went anyway. Always on the stretch for God. It was Studd who prayed the semi-poetic prayer, I don't want to live within the sound of church or chapel bell. Lord, help me run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. However much he did, Paul wanted to do more. However, he couldn't always do what he wanted to do. So often we don't do what we can do. Paul was always wanting to do more and couldn't always do it. His desire did him credit. I think that God is always pleased when we want to glorify him, even though in his providence he holds us back from some particular purpose we have in mind. Paul was hindered. Whole lot of reasons why. I think his own limitations hindered him. Paul had to learn he was just a man. He could only be in one place at one time. No matter how much he wanted to divide himself, he couldn't do it. His bodily strength would give out. There were urgent duties, chapter 15, verses 20 through 22, make it very clear that because of these duties, he says, for this cause I was much hindered. There's only so much one man can do. Prevailing circumstances. But I think certainly at times the devil entered in. 1 Thessalonians 2:18, he said, Satan hindered us. You try to do something for God, and I guarantee the devil will hinder you. Sad thing is, sometimes he'll even use a Christian as his instrument. We ought to be very careful about becoming mouthpieces for the devil, ought we not? But certainly the devil will hinder you. At other times it was the Lord who hindered him. And I'm very glad he did. I read in Acts chapter 16 that when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. And after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And I'm very glad. You know, the world's history was at a crossroads and Paul didn't know it. He just saw Asia there and he wanted to go. I've often thought, if Paul had gone eastward at that time, it could well have been the Chinese sending missionaries to the English, instead of the English sending Hudson Taylor to China. The world's history was in the balance. God knew what he was doing. Divine providence. The Lord hindered him. But I want you to notice this as we close. This is the all-important thing when you're thinking about, so much I would like to do, but I can't do it. Paul did not allow those hindrances to dim the passion for missions within his soul. How do I know? Watch what he says. As for me, I am ready. The words "as for me," according to classical Greek experts, will tell you they're sort of an awkward construction. They're obviously written by somebody who was a Hebrew, as Paul was. Now, Paul could write the most beautiful Greek. Only got to look at the book of Hebrews, as I believe Paul wrote it. But you only got to look at that to see he is the master of the Greek tongue. See, he wasn't worried about mastery of Greek here. What he wrote was idiomatic. It was right out of his heart. And what he's saying is, as for me, all that falls within my bounds is ready. Everything that is within my prerogative is ready to preach the gospel. The word "ready" is a very interesting word. It means ardent, zealous, possessing a ready will, well inclined, prompt, intrepid, has within it the idea of being affectionate and eagerly desirous. You get the picture? Paul is saying, look, everything that is within me, everything that's within my power to commit, I commit. I hold nothing back. I am ardently, zealously, intrepidly, affectionately, eagerly desirous to go and preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. Oh, the Lord had stopped him going for years. That didn't let him become bitter, resentful, or defeated. You see, in it all, he recognized the sovereign plan of God. And he never forgot God's plan is always a missionary plan. Someone has said, God had only one son, and he gave him to be a missionary. God's plan was always a missionary plan. I think we can learn from that, that the fact that we can't do everything we want to do is never an excuse to do nothing. Do what you can. Wasn't it John Wesley? I forget the exact quotation, but John Wesley, who gave the summary of the passion of his life, was to do all the good he could, all the good I can, by all the means I can, to all the people I can. We can't do everything. But let that never be an excuse to do nothing. Do you believe the gospel? Do you really believe the gospel? Have you experienced the power of the gospel unto salvation? Are you living in the abundance of the gospel? Then surely the gospel that we believe in deserves to be preached. If this gospel is all we say it is, and surely it is all that and a whole lot more, then it obliges us. It's not an option anymore. It's not an option. It obliges us to go and make it known. Paul talks about the sword of the Spirit. It's a beautiful sword. But you know, so often Christians hold it up and they say, can you see the jewels? Can you see how it sparkles? Can you see this beautiful hilt? Can you see how I can turn this sword? I can admire this sword. I can polish this sword. I can set this sword out and let others look at it. I can even argue about this sword. I can sit down with others who have different opinions about this sword. And this sword becomes this wonderful, glorious object of our learned discussion. Tell me this. How far do you think the armies of Caesar would ever have got if all they had ever done was admire their sword? Swords were not given just to polish, just to encrust with jewels. Swords were given to use. Let us take the gospel. Oh, admire it, yes. But use it. And we will find it is still the power of God unto salvation. For God stands obliged by his own promise to bless the preaching of the gospel. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, write thy word upon every heart. Find here in this pulpit and in these pews a willing people, a ready people, a people who feel the obligation and who will with Paul cry, woe is unto me if I fail to preach the gospel. Give fruit, therefore, we pray. May we have such an experience of Christ in the gospel that we will have a mighty burden to make him known to all nations and all classes. Part us with thy blessing. Keep us in thy fear. Be the abiding portion of all thy blood-bought church. And set us on fire with the love of God for sinners. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.